I'm Craig Wilson.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod. Welcome to Talk Central, brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On the all-new relaunch Tech Central, we talk in brief about the three biggest technology stories of the week and pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser.
Lastly, Craig and I will pick our product or app of the week. We hope you like the new format.
Switchboard. Why, hey, Sunshine. Let me transfer you. Please hold. Switchboard. Why, I'm just Peachy. Thanks for asking. Please hold. Switchboard. Oh, dang. He's just stepped out of his office. Can I transfer you? Please hold. Bill! It's your wife!
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business available from only 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to the show. So my name is Duncan MacLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. We really are going to be shaking things up around here from this episode. We haven't recorded a talk episode of Talk Central for a while. We've been chatting in the office about how we can really reinvigorate the show and make it much more punchy, much more dynamic. And this episode represents the start of that. I think you're going to see a number of changes over the next over the coming weeks and the coming months, including new features, one of which we'll be introducing this week, our new segment, Winner and Loser of the Week, which we hope you'll enjoy.
And then, of course, we've got the app of the week, which we're going to expand a little and make it the app or product of the week.
Absolutely.
So I suppose let's get down to it.
Let's get down to it, yeah. First of all, we're gonna as we've done in previous episodes, talk about the biggest news stories of the week, but we're really going to keep this really tight and punchy, and we're going to limit it each week to the three biggest, the stories we identify as the three most important stories over the last 7 days. And yeah, Craig, let's get right into it. The top of the news this week, we think, has been the news about Time Capital, this new joint venture between MTN and Pick n Pay to launch a mobile money product in competition with Vodacom's M-Pesa. Now, you've done some reading on this and spoken to some of the parties involved. Of course, our friend Toby Shapshak from Business Day broke the story a couple of days ago on the BD Live website.
Indeed.
But Craig, you've actually taken a look at it. What is it? How's it going to work? And who's going to use it?
So the idea is, like lots of the mobile payment things we've seen before, you know, we've seen the M-Pesa do incredibly well in Kenya and Tanzania, but hasn't really gotten off the ground here. There's certainly room for it, I think, people argue, for these sorts of products. You know, there's a lot of unbanked people. There's a lot of people who want to transfer money across the country. And Pick n Pay is hoping that it can leverage its existing base of almost 800 stores. There's
and
also the Boxer stores.
Boxer
too.
Stores, I was about to say as well. And Boxer, I didn't really know the brand, but it's really a rural. It's a store that's found in smaller towns and more rural
right.
areas, where I think the large unbanked population is to be found. So probably a clever strategy to rope in Boxer stores as well.
Absolutely, and you know there's Pick n Pay everywhere. The fact that
True.
You can do pretty much everything through the tills, you can, and a great deal through the phones. Most of it's USSD based, so you know it's for codes on cell phones, so you can use it on just about any phone, and. You can set up an account for free. There's no minimum balance. There's no monthly fees. Really, I think the obstacle, other than getting people to interested, which has been the problem that all of these mobile payment services have faced, is going to be the fees. The problem is whether you're putting money in or taking money out, you're looking at about 4 Rand a transaction. And for people who want to perhaps do micro transfers or, you know, this is a problem, particularly if you're targeting the unbanked and you're targeting the people who earn the least money. You know, these sorts of fees are perhaps a little bit steep. I think perhaps cheaper fees could get people to use it more frequently. The other thing is even to send money, you can use it regardless of whether you're an MTN customer or not. The only real incentive that I was able to spot for being an MTN customer was that you could send money for free, whereas if you're using a different operator, it costs you a rand to send money.
Right. Now, what really interested me is that the banking license they're using for this venture, and obviously they need a banking license, is the banking license owned by Bank of Athens, which is one of South Africa's smaller banks, which really intrigued me because Standard Bank has traditionally, MTN and Standard Bank traditionally have been very close, and of course had that MTN Money product, which now appears to be have been
this
folded
seems
into
to be
this.
Rolled into this. Mobile money is the sort of back end that supports this this system. I think Time is really just the new face of it.
So it raises also all sorts of interesting questions about what's happened to the relationship between MTN and Standard Bank. So that's something we're going to have to probe over the next couple of weeks.
Indeed.
Craig. Anyway, the next big story of this past week has been, of course, the appointment of a new Telkom chairman who I had the pleasure of meeting on Monday. He's he's an interesting character. He
sounds like quite a sort of rags to riches sort of story.
He is, yeah. He started out his career as a taxi driver. He then owned a fleet of taxis, got into that business, and slowly moved his way into the hotel industry. In fact, I think he was taken under the wings by Maya Khan, who was one of the top executives at SAB, the brewing company. And he really learned his business ropes at SAB. And I know he was involved with ABI, which is the company that manufactures soft drinks,
right.
Coca-Cola, etc. And they sit inside the SAB group. And then he moved on to Soho Sun, where he was the CEO for 5 years between 2006 and 2011. The group has done very well.
So from a business perspective, he's certainly got the credentials, even if they're not communications-based.
Even if they're not communications-based. No, I'd argue as the non-executive chairman of Telkom, you don't need to have telecommunications experience because you're not an operational executive.
Sure.
What you do need to bring to the party is very good corporate governance and a willingness to adhere to very good corporate governance, which I think is absolutely critical in the case of Telkom, because of all the interference we've seen from government and the really difficult situation of having government on one side with its own set of priorities and having private sector shareholders on the other who demand that the management team delivers a return, and quite rightfully so. So there's a very final line that this new chairman is going to have to be walking here. And I think that in my discussion with him on Monday, it became very clear that he is answerable to shareholders. Mm-hmm. And he made it very clear that he does not believe that government is the only shareholder in Telkom, even though some people in government, he said, think that they are the only shareholder in Telkom. So he's taken on a real challenge here, and I wrote in my column this week that I think this guy has got one of the toughest jobs in corporate South Africa right now.
Absolutely.
But he's talking the right talk, and he's also saying that he'll engage with government, which is the right approach. And he's also saying interestingly that business has social responsibility as well, which it does in a country like South Africa. You can't just ignore this and go for maximum profit. There has to be some return from at a social level, but whether that sort of view squares with what government wants from this company is another matter altogether. But generally speaking, I'm impressed with him, and let's hope he lasts.
Indeed, let's hope he does.
Yeah. Which he may not, given all the dynamics and all the chairmen we've seen at this company, all the comings and goings of top management.
Right.
But he's a strong leader to lead this board of directors, so good luck to him.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
Good. Moving right along in our new punchy format, the other big story, the third biggest story this week, we thought, actually one of the three big stories, I shouldn't say the third biggest, was the news that Link Africa, formerly i3 Africa, has been given right of ways in Pretoria by the city of Tshwane, and they plan to deploy 2,000 kilometres of fibre across the city of Pretoria over the next 5 years or so. They've already rolled out
through the sewage system, is it?
Mostly through the sewers, although where there's no
at least to the curb,
where there's no sewers available, they will trench.
Right.
So they're hoping to have at least 50% of their cable infrastructure going through the sewers, which they say is faster, less disruptive, and most importantly, cheaper.
Sure. And prompt some fun and unavoidable jokes, of course.
Of course, which the new CEO Dikus Mateza says he shared a few of those with me as well during the meeting this week. Probably some of them probably not suitable for this podcast.
No.
But interesting company. They're formerly called i3 Africa, now Link Africa. They've bought a patented technology for deploying fiber through the sewers and through water reticulation systems in the cities. Had a very interesting chat with him. They've deployed 300 kilometers of fiber in Durban. They're looking to deploy another 1,000 kilometers in fiber in Durban, mostly for MTN, for their LTE network at this stage.
Right.
But they're also still keen, as they've been saying for several years now, to deploy fiber to the home. And they expect that sometime in 2013 they'll begin their first fiber-to-the-home rollouts.
We can only hope.
They haven't said which cities yet, although Rikus did say that it'll either be Johannesburg, Durban, or Cape Town that gets the FTTH coverage first.
Sure.
And we were talking numbers, and it was quite interesting because I was down at the FTTH Council Africa meeting in Cape Town last week at AfricaCom. And interesting presentation by Gustav Smit, who's the CEO of Dark Fiber Africa, which is another big fiber player. And there was a lot of discussion about fiber to the home, and his suggestion was that it would cost 28 billion rand to roll out fiber to 1.5 million South African homes at a cost of 20,000 rand a home, which, if you think about it and you amortize it over a five-year period, doesn't seem that high. Now, Rikus is saying that he, according to their back-of-the-envelope calculations, they'll be able to roll out fiber to the home through the sewer systems using this patented technology of theirs for 7,000 rand a month. Now, you start to pay this off over a period of time, over, say, 3 or 5 years, and you actually get to levels that are at or below current telecom subscription, the price you pay for your current telecom line and DSL line.
One hopes the telecom knows this. Yes.
The guys are, I get an impression, and talking to a lot of guys, talking to Plessy this week, for example, I have the impression that we're just waiting for someone to move first on fiber to the home, and we're going to see a sudden massive investment across the country in fiber infrastructure.
We've seen someone to also lock on to the right model. Yeah, it's someone to do the calculations and go, well, if we do it this way, we can pay it off in X time, and let's get going because we've got a first mover advantage if we do.
Sooner or later, someone's going to say, this makes financial sense, and they're going to start, and then everyone else who's kind of been sitting on the sidelines is going to go, whoa, these guys are starting, and they're going to get it. They're going to get first mover advantage. I think we need to move down too. And I think we're going to see a big scramble for fiber to the home. This is just my gut feel. I could be completely wrong, but I think we're going to see this happening within the next year or two.
I certainly hope so.
Great. Well, that's the end of the news section. Moving right along to our next new feature in the show, and that's our winner and loser of the week. I must emphasize that we're going to be doing this every week, but the winner and the loser doesn't necessarily have to be a person. We're also going to look at companies. Yeah. And in fact, the winner of this week is not a person at all. In fact, it's an international cell phone handset manufacturer by the name of Nokia. You might have heard of them. You might be wondering why on earth are we picking Nokia as our winner of the week? But the sole reason is that the company's share price has been going through the roof. Craig, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but in the last 5 days, Nokia's share price has gone up by 25%.
It's just staggering.
And since it hit its low a couple of months ago, it has more than doubled. It's the market sentiment towards this company has definitely changed. Of course, the share price is still down about 90% over five years, so it's still got a long way to retrace. But just in the last 5 days, last week or so, since the Nokia Lumia 920, their new flagship Windows Phone 8 device, has come into the market, there's been a noticeable turnaround in that share price. There's no other real news around Nokia in the market that could have prompted this.
No, indeed.
So one can only assume that it's the new range of Lumias, the 920 and the 820.
This speaks volumes to what investors must think consumers are going to think of these devices.
Indeed. Well, there were some sales stats coming out of Germany. I haven't seen other sales stats, but there were sales stats coming out of Germany showing very promising sales of the Lumia 920 into that market. So I think investors are cautiously optimistic that Nokia might have actually turned the corner here and that consumers really like these new Lumia devices. I must say, I've been playing, and Craig, you've been playing with it as well, the new Lumia 920.
Well, you spent quite a bit of time with it over the last weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, I did indeed, and I actually really like it. There's still something about Windows Phone 8 that I still don't like compared to Android. I found myself after a few days really wanting to go back to Android. I think it's a lack of apps. And it's possibly also just that I'm not used to the Windows Phone environment, and I'm more comfortable working in the Android ecosystem. But Nokia has certainly done a fantastic job here, and there's some fantastic apps that are bundled with us, including Nokia Music, Nokia Mix Radio.
And it's good-looking hardware.
And Nokia Drive. Mm-hmm. It's great-looking hardware. Its biggest problem is its weight. It weighs more than 180 grams.
Which we've been chastised for by some readers in the comments.
We've been chastised for, and we've been criticized quite heavily for the headline we used on the piece. And in fact, one of the commenters, Greg Mochnet, made a good point that he suggested a different headline, which would have actually been great. I think the headline he suggested was Lumia 920, worth the weight, weight, which would have been a good headline.
But, you know, it is heavy. I mean, we're also in the fortunate position that we've got all of the major phones in the office. And, you know, if you compare it to the HTC One X or the Samsung S3 or even the Galaxy Note 2.
Or even the HTC 8X, right? The Windows Phone 8 device from HTC.
Which is, the Note, for example, is a far bigger device in terms of, screen size. But even that weighs less. It does feel like a big device. But then there's also something to be said for this. Some people like this. You know, and the iPhone 4S is a particularly heavy phone. And of course, the Apple fanboys will tell you, well, that just makes it feel more rugged, you know, more properly built.
Yes.
And there is some sort of argument for that too. The Nokia, the Lumia 920 feels big, feels heavy, but it feels really, really well made.
It does. It does. And clearly the market is warming to it because Nokia's share price is up hugely. So they're our winner this week. And we'll keep an eye on that stock price and that company.
And you've got to think there's a lot of boardrooms in Canada full of RIM execs wishing they could see this sort of success that Nokia's enjoying.
Indeed.
Now.
Well, they've got BlackBerry 10 around the corner, so they may be enjoying it soon as well. We'll keep an eye on that space.
Right.
Craig, your loser of the week, who is it?
So it's one Mr. Roy Kruger, who people may know better or not know at all as the tech advisor to Minister Dina Pule, who of course is the Minister of Communications. And Mr. Kruger was at the same conference you were at last week, the Fiber to the Home Africa Council conference or day event, and he made some very, very very controversial statements.
Oh, he did indeed, yes. He really got up on stage and really spoke his mind. I'm not sure whether he realized there was a journalist in the room or not, but at these sort of events, I think, especially when there are 250 people in the room, you have to assume that there are at least a few journalists in that room.
If not, and someone who will tell one.
And of course, you know, you say controversial things, of course it gets out, people record it, it goes onto Twitter, etc.
Sure.
But he certainly spoke his mind. He slammed ETV, their lawsuit against the minister. We won't go into any detail on that now, but he called it stupid. Yes. What else did he say, Craig?
He said the proposed KT deal, you know, which would have seen Telkom selling some equity to Korea's KT Telecom, that he said that this deal would have been rubbish and that it would have been giving away a sort of South African asset. He also said that, although he didn't name her specifically, he intimated that outgoing Telkom CEO Nombolelo Moholi was another problem that Telkom had to deal with. The interesting thing is, aside from industry lashing at him for it and saying that his comments were ill-conceived and in many cases just wrong, the minister herself distanced herself from it very, very quickly too, the same day, within hours.
In fact, I was down at Cape Town and I went back to my hotel room from the FTTH council, and I got a call from the minister's spokesman saying that there was a statement on its way to me. This was literally two and a half hours after we posted our story from Roy Kruger's initial comments. So and she came out quite strongly criticizing him and distancing herself from the comments that she made.
But of course, given the backlash, I mean, this was the response the minister had to give. But
it was, of course.
It is, one does have to wonder whether she shares his views behind the scenes. And
indeed. Well, given all the tension between, especially around Telkom, and Pinky and her resignation, one has to wonder whether the views that that Roy Kruger was sharing were sort of general views inside the Department of Communications. That is speculation, of course, but
sure, that perhaps weren't intended to go public.
Indeed.
Anyway, so we'll hopefully have another winner and loser of the week next week. And
we definitely will. We definitely will. And moving on to our next feature this week and our last feature for the show, our app of the week. We're not going to do products this week. We're going to choose apps. Craig, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. My app of the week has been getting a great deal of hype, and in my experience with it to date, it lives up to it. Unfortunately, it's only for iOS at the moment. It's coming to Android and Windows phones soon, and it's called Summly. It's Summly. The idea is it's a play on the word summary, and that tells you a lot about what it does. The thinking, it's developed by a 17-year-old Brit who took a year off school to work on it and has gotten backing from the likes of Ashton Kutcher, Stephen Fry,
wow,
the Zynga CEO.
Wow.
It's gotten a great deal of funding. And the idea is that his thinking was that people don't want to read full news articles on their phones always, and that they want to be able to browse the news rather quickly. And so Summly has an algorithm that extracts the 400 or 500 character summary from news stories. You can do predefined topics like you can with other news aggregators like Flipboard or Zeit. But in this instance, you get a very, very short summary, just the key points of the story. If you want to, one of the things that makes Summly great too is the interface. The interface is really, really beautifully designed. The user experience is great. Double tap a story will bring up a slightly longer summary. Swipe down on the story and you get the original story, which of course advertisers and so on will like, because it also pushes people back to the original story when they want all of the info. And otherwise, it's all based on swipes left and right, and a long hold will bring up a gorgeous sort of share menu for social media. Just a really, really clean, tidy app, and a great way to just flick through the news in 5 minutes in the morning and get an idea of at least the day's headlines.
Great. Sounds excellent. I'm looking forward to...
And it's free.
And it's free, of course. That's the important thing, right? Looking forward to the Android version. That's Summly for iOS currently. Craig, my pick of the week, it's a bit irreverent, I guess. It's an app called, it's a game for Android, iOS, and Facebook, interestingly enough, called Clouds and Sheep. And it's it'll give you hours of endless fun. Basically, you're a farmer who has to manage a field of sheep. You've got to get these sheep, keep these sheep happy, and you've got to get them to breed and multiply.
I believe you have to fling them about.
You fling them about. They like being flung about.
Right.
You've got to get them to mate and do all sorts of things. And you've got to do stuff with the clouds as well. And you've got to get the clouds to mate to rain so there's grass and get the sheep to. It sounds terrible. It sounds like Farmville, but it's actually a lot of fun. When I started playing it, I was hooked on it for several hours. So it's well worth checking out and a bit of fun for the weekend. So check that out. It's called Clouds and Sheep. And Craig, right. I think that's all the time we have for this week. I hope you like the new format, the new punchy Talk Central. If you've got any feedback on the show, of course, you can always email us at info@techcentral.co.za.
Or comment beneath the post.
Of course. Until next time. Cheers.